we're back on the Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle.
Nailed it.
And Brian Miller.
Hello.
In Minneapolis. And we are waking up today to find out that something that we thought was long gone has risen from the dead.
Like a
zombie or a Chicago voter. And what is that thing? Why, it's the Clinton email scandal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was Anthony Weiner's dong.
Well, that's the gift that just keeps on giving.
That's what he tells people about it.
Yeah, you should be happy I've put this in your inbox.
You might need a bigger file storage after me, yeah.
But for those, considering that most history only lasts 2 weeks anymore, a little summation here, I think, is that upon investigating Anthony Weiner's computer, the Weiner server, if you will, for a possible, I don't know what it would be called if you're sent chicks changing naked pictures, child porn, I guess, isn't it?
If they're underage.
Yeah. If he got naked pictures from her, that's pretty serious.
Yes, it is. And if I assume, good Lord, it has to be more against the law to show an underage person your junk than an of-age person, even though it's also illegal just to show an of-age person who didn't want to see it.
Huh.
You know, it's the classic guy on the bus in the trench coat, you know? Like, you don't see that anymore.
Yeah, but is there... Is it really? I don't know. I mean, it sounds weird, and I don't want to get into it because it's kind of creepy.
Oh, I guarantee you, there's an extra little statute on there somewhere.
Yeah. That exposing yourself to an underage.
Yeah, I used to type court documents up. There's some kind of charge like that.
I would guess maybe contributing to the delinquency of a minor, something like that. Is probably how it's stated.
Contributing to the likelihood of a minor to vote Republican?
I don't know. From what I understand,
do you think that's what they're looking at? We know it's Weiner related. We know it's him. Do you think that specific thing is what they're looking into?
Well, no, that's what they were looking for. That's why they had access to his computer.
Oh, so they were looking for that, and they found something else.
Right, they were looking
Clinton
for
it.
They were looking. Yeah, the FBI was looking for it, and then all of a sudden, an agent who is very observant said, "Hey, there's a lot of .gov emails on this computer." So they ran an algorithm to extract the metadata, mm-hmm. and sure enough, there were a lot of .gov email addresses, and it was discovered that Huma, I don't know how to pronounce Huma. Was it?
Yeah, Huma with an H.
Yeah, I know, but I've heard it pronounced Uma now.
I'm pretty sure it's Huma with an H.
No,
I think you can hear the H.
It's not Huma.
No, it's definitely... No,
well, you know why it's not Huma? Because then her name would be Huma Weiner.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well, I believe she very wisely kept the Abedin. Nobody changes their name to Weiner, you know?
Yeah. They might change it to Weiner, but they don't change
it to... it to Weiner. In the documentary, which, by the way, if you haven't seen the documentary about him, it's fantastic. It's really good. And the opening, a little epigraph... is a quote from Marshall McLuhan, and it is a name is something from which a child never recovers.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
It's so great documentary, great quote for that. Yeah,
I can certainly imagine.
Highly recommend.
And if there's one person that hopes that this is going to be made into a television drama, a docudrama, is that what that's called when it's with actors?
Sure, yeah.
The one person that really has hopes on that is a Screech.
Ah, you think he would be the choice to play Anthony Weiner?
Oh my God, he's probably pitching it.
Well, he's already showed his dong on film, so there'd be some interesting meta. He's a neighbor of ours, you know?
Yeah, we brought that up. Yeah, I think we brought that up in the last episode.
Next time I'm heading your way, I could actually stop and visit him at about the halfway point, as best I can tell.
So anyway, James Comey, the FBI investigator, came out. Well, he didn't really come out. He actually just sent a letter to Congress that Congressman looked at and went, "Holy crap!" and could not get it on the internet fast enough.
No, but then interestingly, it also broke pretty late on Friday. It was like Friday at mid-afternoon, early afternoon, it seems like. So the news, it's hilarious to me that even during election week, you know, CNN basically shuts down for the weekend like mom and pop pie store or something. And you get the same.
Kind of, yeah, like that. Your local radio station. There is nobody there are no salesmen. Nobody is left in the radio station by 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Exactly.
And it's funny that CNN does that too.
Yeah, I've always thought that was weird. It's like, so you're running a TV network that's got crap on it every second of the day, but you can't bother to have three people to update your website? Oh, God, what a pathetic organization CNN is. That is a whole other conversation. I found three typos. I was joking to someone about finding a typo on CNN, and then I skipped over to CNN to see if I could find one to prove my point, and I found one in the subhead of the first headline I found. What an embarrassment.
Yeah.
But all the big political podcasts of the season, I mean, all of this stuff, everybody, you know, I listened to a couple of podcasts over the weekend, and they all had little disclaimers on the front. We recorded this Friday, it's 9:30 in the morning, or, you know, Thursday night, and so nobody had any talk about the email. Like, cable news kind of got this one all to themselves a little bit.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's the question is, you know, what did he find? In my speculation, well, there's actually two schools of thought. The one school of thought is that he found nothing, and the last thing he wants to do is maybe something is there and will be found further in the investigation, and at that point, everyone's going to say, "What, you knew this before the election? Why didn't you tell us?" Well, now he's told us. And the other scenario that I've heard is that he has been – the Daily Mail reports, I'm not just making this up, that he has received so many resignation letters for the way he that agents believe he mishandled the first investigation, is that he's been dying for a chance to reopen it.
Oh.
And this is his entry to that.
I think the since you brought the Daily Mail, which is a UK paper, his arse covering is probably to put it in as they would put it. Isn't the Daily Mail kind of a tabloid too, by the way?
Yeah, it is. I put very light, ironic quotation marks around the Daily Mail. I don't
sure.
know. You can rewind the podcast. You can probably hear them now that I've pointed them out.
The bum covering, as they would say over in England, makes more sense to me. But that, once again, the bum covering doesn't mean there's nothing there. But it makes sense. My wife was kind of threw this theory at me earlier in the weekend. I was actually the first person I heard posit this idea was my wife. She's a smart lady. She said, "Man, I bet the guy's thinking, ugh, they're going to be mad at me if I don't release him and mad at me if I do. But if it's nothing, I'll be essentially exonerated regardless. But if it's something, I'm better to be on the safe side."
Yeah, but if it's nothing, then he's a partisan hack. I mean, if it turns out to be nothing...
You know, but he's already been accused of being a partisan hack from the other side, so in a certain way, he gets to play a little of the old fair and balanced game.
Actually, no. As a resident of the other side, I can tell you that he really wasn't called a partisan hack. The school of thought is that the Department of Justice is partisan, and he works under that, and that he was under pressure to do what he did. From the department, is that he would have liked to seen a prosecution, but he was pretty much told that no one's gonna move forward with his case. So rather than you know, say I recommend prosecution and then watch everyone pass it around, he just said that no reasonable prosecutor would touch this case.
Maybe that also strikes me as a bit conspiratorial. I don't know. It's hard to say, but it'll be put this way. This is one of those things that we won't really know. We won't even be able to think about what his mindset was until we find out if there was anything in there, you know. That's what's going to be interesting. It's going to be hard to analyze this one until way after the fact, don't you think?
And what's even harder?
There you go.
It's containing it all in a 10-minute segment. I've seen phone calls can get you so clean.
Segment, by the way, we're going to be talking about the Acme anniversary show coming up.
Big 25
company. Big 25. It's going to be great. But before we get to that, let's talk about another anniversary or another impending anniversary. This will be, as I'm calling it now, this will be what, the Cubs' 107th year not winning a World Series?
108th.
This will be 108. Yeah, that, I mean, as of right now, it is, I believe, 3-2 Indians over the Cubs.
Yes, 3-2
They're not winning. They're not winning this. It shall not be done. I don't think they're not going to go to Game 7. The Indians are going to win tomorrow.
They barely. Last night they barely pulled. They barely pulled that one. That one. I couldn't even watch.
No. And the games, the other game they won, they barely won. And the games they've lost, they thoroughly lost for the most part.
Yeah, they had their clocks cleaned.
Yeah,
it's just Cleveland. No. Cleveland has some great pitching. And the Cubs cannot overcome it.
No,
it's actually yesterday a friend of mine said, you know, what should I do tonight? Should I watch the Cubs or watch The Walking Dead? And I said, well, you know, actually the Cubs pitching staff could be called The Walking Dead.
Well, they certainly won't be anywhere near a Native American burial ground because I think the Indians are going to be just fine. Sticking with the horror theme there. I did watch some of the Cubs game. I flipped back and forth. I was watching alternating between that and football and Halloween episodes of Frasier.
Wow.
Scintillating evening with the wife.
Wow. How many Halloween episodes of Frasier were there?
Two. They're both good.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, there might even be three, but we watched two of them.
I'm gonna go off tangent here just for a minute. I saw a Frasier episode, because Frasier doesn't seem like that old of a series.
But it is, in a way.
It is. There was one scene that made me realize that it's how dated it was, is he's babysitting one of his girlfriend's kids.
Uh-huh.
And she comes into the house, and she goes, can I use your phone?
Uh-oh, landline.
Landline, kid without a phone.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
The comedy in that has aged very well, though. Man, that show's funny.
Anyway, back to that's what you were doing last night. Switching between the Cubs and Frasier.
Man, I just had that sinking feeling this whole World Series. They lost the first game, and I thought if the Cubs were going to win it, they were going to have to get out to an early lead, and it would still stretch it.
Yeah.
But they're just
when they lost the first game at Wrigley, I knew that was it. I was suspicious after the first loss, but when they lost that first game at Wrigley, it's like, come on. If you can't win, you know, with that excitement, the first World Series game since 1945 on Wrigley Field, and the streets are packed, the stands are mobbed, there's celebrities galore. And if you can't win there, you can't win.
No, I had the exact same feeling. It's maybe too much pressure that it's not quite, I don't know, but it's not quite there. Indians are really good.
Then I don't know if I want them to win it in Cleveland.
Would the final game be in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the final game would be back at Wrigley.
Is it? Is it only one game in Cleveland?
I think it's one. I think they do 2-2. Or I think so. I could be wrong. But I will say this: my wife said she thinks it'd actually be a little bit cooler if the streak keeps going on. But I disagree.
If
the Cubs losing streak continues.
Oh, if the Cubs losing streak? I wanted to see it over.
I did too. Also, just because I would like, it would be cool to be alive when a streak that historic is broken, and they might not do it in my lifetime if they don't do it now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's kind of that's kind of the way I think too. Is that maybe it'll never happen? Maybe, you know, maybe baseball, people's interest in baseball will be entirely gone by the time it finally happens. It's like, guess what? The Cubs finally won the World Series. And it's like, oh, that is so last millennium.
Yeah, I'm going to sit up out of my VR sex chamber and switch my severed head over to a better body, and then I'll, like, see across my my news contact lenses. I'll see in a little corner scroll of the Cubs one, and I'll be like, huh, Cubs, huh? And then back to the chamber.
I remember baseball. Baseball will be remembered fondly, like good music and fast food.
It does seem very antiquated, doesn't it, baseball?
You know, it really does. I haven't
in a bad way, I think, by the way.
I haven't watched a baseball game in years. I'll admit it. I pretty much lost my affection for baseball, and I've been trying to watch these games. I can't watch these games.
It's crushingly boring.
Yeah, and I used to enjoy it. I mean, there, you know, it's I remember as a kid the excitement of bringing the, when the Tigers were in the World Series, and I remember the excitement of bringing the televisions in, because it was all day games then, so the teachers were allowed to bring television, their portable television sets into the classroom, and we watched the Tigers, and you know, the excitement of that, and I can't sit through a baseball game anymore.
No, and I can still, I mean, you know, my attention span has definitely been chiseled away a little bit by electronic devices, but I can still watch The Godfather straight through. I can still read a long novel. You know, I watch 3-hour football games 4 times a week. Baseball is so boring. And I tell you, I think I know why. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but the main reason is that baseball is so stuck in traditionalism. And the people who are into baseball are so afraid to change one shoelace on the cleats of one player. Whereas you look at the NFL, and every single year the NFL owners meet and they go, how can we keep the game evolving? How can we keep the game interesting? How can we keep the game safer? And they change the rules literally almost every year in the NFL. Might be that they add an extra 5 feet to the goalposts. Might, you know, little things like that. But it cumulatively adds up. And sometimes they make big changes that help the game evolve. And baseball has just not evolved.
Huh. That's interesting. I was shocked. I didn't know they were doing television replays. That the teams could call for a television for a video replay.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I say they don't. The one thing they changed was the dumbest thing they possibly could have done. It's like, it's like, oh my god, the game wasn't slow enough. They can actually stop it to watch the slow. Like, it takes 10 minutes to watch the inning anyway. They got to rewatch the whole thing. And my wife hit the nail on the head on this one. She's a smart lady. She said, we were at a game and they were doing instant replay, and I was slapping my forehead and making death moaning noises because I hate baseball, so it was boring. And she had to concede this one, and she said, it's kind of ridiculous because, like, in football, there's 11 players on each side of the line crashing into each other. In hockey, there's 10 skaters and 2 goalies all swirling around. In baseball, everyone's watching the ball all the time. How do you need a replay? We were all just looking at it.
but that has been going on since I was a kid. The idea that should video, because people be, you know, because there would be calls television came into baseball. You know, by the time I was a kid, it had been, you know, they'd been televising games for at least 3-4 years, so that. That was sarcasm.
I was going to let it slide.
By the way. And, you know, people were saying, well, you know, if we can, like, replay it, you know, if we can replay games, why can't they just replay it to see if, and people would say, oh, no, that would ruin the sport. That would, exactly what you're saying. That would ruin the integrity of the sport if they actually use something high tech. The beauty of baseball is that it can still be played on a desert island with a stick and a coconut.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with that in that sense. I'll go one further and say that as an NFL fan, I would be fine if they abolished instant replays from the NFL. I think in it all evens out in the wash. If
sure.
You watch enough, if you watch enough games, you go, I've never really seen a game truly decided by one bad call. Because you go, yeah, but they're only in this situation because they fumbled before. And they did the, you know, it's a collection of events. It's not one play ever.
But I think society has also moved to a point where they want certainty. Is that there was a time when the justice system was considered imperfect so that we would there would be more, you know, occasionally guilty people released, but that was better than imprisoning an innocent person.
Mm-hmm.
So we accepted that. We accepted that failure rate. I think in America today, there is a need for certainty. They want to make sure that the guilty are punished and the innocent are freed. And you can't always do that.
No, I was going to say, really, it's the illusion of certainty, if anything, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am certain of one thing, by the way. You know what that is. Yeah, exactly. See you on the other side. And on the final installment of the final segment of this week's installment of Rule of Three, I don't want to get to, unless, barring some calamities, barring some meteor strike, just the final segment for the day. We're going to be back next week for a live in-person podcast.
Yeah, from the stage at Acme.
Yes, because next week is the 25th anniversary of Acme Comedy Company, and we're both going to be there.
It's a big one. It's the silver anniversary of the Golden Stage. And how many anniversary shows have you at least been in attendance of, Brian?
Well, I was in attendance. Actually, no, I was part of the last one. They did the early week shows during the big blowout week. They did a couple of nights where it was just like 7-minute sets by all the MCs and features. So I was part of the 20-year anniversary shows as well.
The 20-year anniversary, that was fun for me. They put me on what they called Who's Your Daddy Night.
Yeah, that was very funny.
And the gist of it for our listeners, the idea was, is they put the people who had been working Acme the longest on stage. And all of us have been going there for 20 years pretty much at that point. So there's a real good chance if your mom was a waitress at Acme... Well, I don't have to go any further.
Michael Thorne used to do a funny joke about being on the road for a long time. He says, you look familiar, son. Does your mom like comedy? It always cracks me up.
So anyway, yeah, you were there for the 20.
But yeah, and 20 is bigger, I guess, in Chinese culture, because I mean, 20 was the one that Lewis just, man, he blew that one out. That was huge.
Do you know any of the plans that are for this one?
Oh, it's still pretty darn big. It's one night instead of a week is the biggest difference, I guess.
Right.
But it's a big night. Man, it's a big night.
Yeah, it's a big night. Lots of stars. Sold out like in 10 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I can't even – it's funny. Somebody asked me about the tickets, and I said I don't even know how many tickets were even sold because, gosh, I bet they're – just for the comics alone, they must be reserving – you know, 100 seats almost, or 75
yeah, yeah.
Seats.
There were quite a few seats reserved for people that wanted to come. You know, press, associates, family. You know, stuff like that. There was a bunch on hold, but the ones that were open to the general public were gone in 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, I got emails from people saying that they got an email notification, immediately checked their email, saw what it was, got online, and they were sold out within that. I mean,
yeah.
It was, yeah, people, because as you can imagine, a bunch of people are like, hey, you work at Acme, and you work at City Pages, and you work at a radio station. Can you get me tickets to this? Something.
Yeah, you gotten any, you have anyone hitting you up for tickets?
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of people hitting me up for tickets.
Yeah, me
right.
too. It's like, I can't. Okay. If anyone would be able to, it would be me.
If somebody said, I desperately need one, I'd say, well, you can ask Slagle, I guess. That's the best.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but
I got one for my wife, and I was happy to get that one.
Yeah, I'm even locked out, so I don't know what to tell you. I haven't heard of any being scalped though.
I haven't either. I haven't checked StubHub or anything. That'd be interesting. I bet they're going for a pretty penny because it's going to be quite the lineup.
Have they announced the special guest yet? I don't want to.
They have not.
Okay. Then I can't.
Neither here nor there, and I truly have not heard the lineup. I mean, I've only heard, the only people I know on the lineup are the people that have been announced.
Right.
But I will say that I am doing Doug Loves Movies Saturday before the Acme Anniversary Show.
Oh, okay. So you know that.
So I'm doing that. So that's, if you want to come out to that, I'll be doing that on Saturday. And I'm just saying Doug Benson will be in, it actually truly could be a coincidence, but Doug Benson will be in Minneapolis the day before. Whether or not that means he'll be at this one.
Yeah, just hanging out. But there's a couple comics hanging out. Emily Galati's coming in.
Right, she's just going to hang out. So it really could, Benson really might just be hanging out. I don't know.
And I can't imagine that Kermit and David Crow would not be staying over tonight.
Yes, because more Kermit and David Crow will be there the next week, I believe, right?
No, they were there this week.
Oh, so this week. Okay, so they're going to stay the... Right, because you're the week after, they're the week before, because that's election week, yeah. So, I'm sure
Kermit I'm going to be... I'm going to be mopping up the tears on Tuesday night. That's. I think I mentioned this already. I think I mentioned it last week, but Lewis is predicting that the results will be known by the time I go on stage.
I think he's right. Yeah, I think he's right, especially because it's so heavily it depends on a couple of key states in the East that even if Trump wins, it'd be I don't think it's going to happen. But even if Trump wins, it'd be like, oh wow, he won Florida and New Hampshire and North Carolina. Well, there you go.
Yep. So anyway, I'll be there all election week. So I'll be mopping up the tears on Tuesday night, and then probably. I don't know. It depends on the way it goes on Tuesday night. If it goes the way most people think, the week will be fine. But if it goes the other way, I'm going to be juggling.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to go on stage and go, I got nothing that isn't going to upset 90% of you tonight. So
Chris Bliss is going to sue you for copyright infringement. You're going to do so much juggling. Yeah, that's true.
Because you know the story. You know the story. Have I told the story on the podcast yet?
The story of
the week Walter Mondale lost the Senate.
No.
Oh. Well, let me sit back, kiddies, and hear a tale from the olden days by Uncle Tim. I think it probably was because it's always in the fall. I believe there was an anniversary show that weekend that I hosted.
And this was in Mondale ran for what's his name?
Yeah, basically what happened was Paul Wellstone was sailing back to an easy re-election. 2 weeks before the election, his plane crashed the horrible accident, and so they nominated Walter Mondale to run in his stead.
That's probably the 10-year anniversary, right around there.
Right around there, yeah, it would have been. And they nominated Wellstone to run in his stead, Mondale to run in his stead, and everybody was sure that it was going to be an easy victory, and they had a memorial service for Paul Wellstone, and the Democrats got a little cocky, and in fact, they got so cocky that Mondale did not win.
Yeah, Norm Coleman won that one.
Yep.
Which is what inspired Al Franken to then run for Senate 6 years later just to beat Norm Coleman.
So anyway, the Saturday before, it was a Saturday or Sunday, when they did the anniversary show, I had a line. And I said, you know, when they nominated Walter Mondale, I thought what I think everybody in America thought at the same time. I thought, isn't he dead too? See? And that's the response I got for it on the anniversary show the couple nights before the election. Well, Tuesday night, after it's perfectly clear, or it might have been Wednesday, actually. It might have even worked on Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, when the votes were tallied, I came on stage and opened with that same line, and I got the crickets. Just nobody in the audience thought it was funny. And no matter what I said after that point, I couldn't dig myself out of that hole.
Really?
And yeah, and eventually the whole room got up and walked out on me.
Oh, so that was the line of the famous walkout night.
That was the famous walkout night.
I mean, that night is legendary. I mean, everybody who works at Acme knows about that night.
Yeah. 270 came in to see a show. 27 saw me say thank you, good night.
You sound like Quint talking about the USS Indianapolis, you know. 270 sailors went into the water, and the sharks got in the water, and 27 were left at the end.
So
that is a classic story. Oh, and by the way, the week that you're working, Acme just hired a brand new MC whose name is Mike Hurley, which is a little confusing since we already have an MC named Mike Early. But
wow.
Mike Hurley with an H is a really good friend of mine and a really funny guy, and I'm very excited he was hired. And so, yeah, it's great. You'll get to kind of break him in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, another comic, speaking of the anniversary. We're going to go a little long here. Speaking of the anniversary, for those of you who do not know what's going on, is that these are all the people that are coming on stage are people who have started their comedy career on the Acme stage as MCs. And have now gone on to bigger things, and me, I'm hosting it as the person who saw every one of them pass him up.
It's gonna be great, though. I'm thrilled to be on the lowest end of that show.
Well, and I would imagine in another 25 years. Everyone's going to buy tickets in 5 minutes because, oh my God, Mike Hurley's coming back.
Yeah. Ooh, and Lester's going to be there. Ooh, my
and
Lester.
Hopefully Slagle gets to say, I remember the week of the 25th anniversary.
We used to call it walk in the room, see, because people used to use their legs, see. It was a long time ago.
People used to actually be in the room, not yeah, sitting right there on their phones at home watching the show over the rooftop.
Keeping one eye on it while they're in their sex pod, VR sex pod.
And I think that's a wrap. All the episodes at BrianMiller.com, Brian with a Y, Brian Miller, comedy.com, I'm sorry. TimSlegel.com, and iTunes, and
yeah, and then next week, live podcast. Well, we call it live podcast, there's no audience, but hey, it's live to us.
See you then.